Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Nice to be with you. Tony Squires is my name. Brent Reed, Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer with you. Reedy, there's some breaking news. What's happening?
Yeah, a bit of breaking news on Jimmy Roberts, Tony. The Tigers just put out a statement that he has not travelled with the team to Brisbane after he was placed in a COVID hold following exposure to a site in Sydney with a known case. He's returned a negative COVID test. He'll remain in isolation for the coming 4 days. He'll miss Sunday's game, obviously, and Tommy Talau will replace him. Now, the bigger issue is how he does eventually get to Brisbane, I imagine, because that's the issue that
Zach Lomax
and Navarro and Benji have got. So I guess they'll have to work through that with the NRL, but Jimmy Roberts will not play on Sunday.
All right.
Or Chambers too.
Same spot. All right, look, we've got a terrific guest right here right now. And I was very lucky just a few weeks ago to go to a pre-game function at Bankwest Stadium before a Parramatta Eels game. And Reid Marnie was a guest speaking there, and he was super, super impressive, as he was last night when he got back onto the field after that long run out with injury. And he joins us right here right now. G'day, Reid.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. I'll get to you talking into the microphone in a minute. First, let's take you back to your performance. You'd been out for some time. Nice to get a little try on the board early.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, about 5 weeks on the sideline, and with the Bison, that was pretty lucky. I only missed 3 games. So, it was a long 5 weeks, I tell you that, watching the boys playing that. But, it was good to be able to, get back on the field.
Really important win last night, Reid. You guys have, with 7 games now to go, I think you've still got to play the Roosters, South, Manly, the Storm and Penrith. So you're certainly going to, you need to make up as many points as you can get now, and you're certainly going to know where you stand coming into the finals.
Yeah, definitely. I think the next 3 weeks we've got Roosters and Raiders, and we're sort of taking it each week, and we've got a really big, back end of the year. So, we're going to try and put ourselves in the best position, for try and secure a top 4 spot and then worry about the end of the year later. And we'll just take it week by week, I guess. Pretty cliche, but yeah, it is what it is.
Reid, we saw Mitch Moses, I think, was he ball boy last night? How was he after Origin? He copped a bit of flack on Thursday, Friday. Yeah, how is he?
Oh, he obviously pulled up pretty sore after an Origin game, which you would expect. But it was all good, obviously. Just gave him a bit of a rest. Pretty hard to turn around 48 hours later and play, so we've always had a good, strong squad here that can, boys can come up and fill his position. And, he did that last night with a few young boys come in and, get the win.
You're a Queenslander. Did you give him some stick or were you a bit sensitive about it?
Oh, I didn't say too much. Obviously, they already won the series. So I'm on the back foot already. So, it was good to see him watch, but it was great to see the boys, Queensland boys, get a win. And I think it's going to take momentum into next year.
I thought I saw Clint Gutherson after he, because Mitch was a ball boy, and Clint Gutherson kicked the first goal from the sideline and just gave him a look saying, it's a pretty easy job, actually.
I think there was one of them that it was like a straightened arrow, and I could see Junior and Mitch actually laughing, I think taking the piss out of him. So, it was good laugh.
We called your game last night, Reid, and the difference, I think, since Isaiah Papali'i has come to the Eels this year, and your form in particular was fantastic before your injury, and last night you just took off from where you left off. Top four, obviously, is the goal, but now that I think the competition's now changed. I think once we were all forced to relocate up north, I think it's basically opened up the competition a lot more. Do you dare to dream this far out? Does the word grand final ever come into the conversation when you're chatting in your meetings?
Oh, not overly. We don't want to think too far ahead, but I know personally it's something that I think about all the time. And imagine the lockdown being taken off and then playing a grand final in Sydney, and Parramatta would be it'd be off its head, I reckon. And It's obviously it's a dream, and that's what I think about. But yeah, just we'll come up here now, and we're, you know, most likely going to be playing finals footy up here. So you know, I know as a squad, and we've spoken about it, and we're just we're all in up here, and we're here to look after each other and get their job done on the field.
Well, you certainly showed some resilience last night. Two representative players out. Your first game back after a while. You had to pick up and relocate midweek. So a fair few excuses there if you wanted to use them, but went out and put in a really good performance.
Yeah, I think well, we obviously bring that up about bringing up excuses. And you know, we could have used excuses, but you know, our lives turned upside down, and it wasn't just us. It was the whole NRL. So we've just got on with it and been told what we need to do, what things we need to bring. And we've come up here, trained well, and, you know, the performance, you know, we started well up here from home last night.
So where are you exactly? Where are you guys placed?
We're on the Goldie. So it's not the worst places, I'll tell you that.
So what are your restrictions sort of look like? So when you're not at training or you're not having meals, do you need to be in your room? Are you allowed to move around the hotel? What's it look like from your end?
We can move around the room, around the hotel. Obviously, there's big fences around the hotel, so we obviously can't leave. But we've got a team room, and most of the boys are always in there anyway, playing cards or playing PlayStation and stuff like that. So. It's not that bad. It's pretty good, actually.
You're on a golf course too, aren't you, at your resort or not?
Yeah, I'm looking at the golf course right now. The boys are itching.
Can you play golf? No.
I can't swing them that well, but like playing a few rounds. But
are you allowed out to play yet?
No, we can't. We've got to wait till 14 days to
Yeah, so once you've done the 14 days, the restrictions are the Queensland ones, which are really not there at all.
We just go back to government rules and pretty much just do whatever, really, so which would be good.
And who do you share your accommodation with? What other teams are in the hotel with you?
I think there's five other teams here. So there's Rabbits, Bulldogs, Raiders, and Warriors. So, yeah, it's a pretty full-on resort. Wow. But, it's good. You obviously say hello to the boys and you walk past them and see mates that you've known for a few years. And, it's good. It's not too bad.
Is there anyone you walk past you just want to put one on the chin?
Why would you be so aggressive, mate?
Are we talking about my own players?
Anyone but Junior Paulo?
No, I don't think I'd get up if he hit me.
Hey, Reed, what was it like watching Origin? Because you would have, in all likelihood, you would have played this year. What was it like watching it, knowing that?
Oh, yeah, I guess obviously being in camp game one and then, you know, being I went back to play the game, and then was supposed to come back be like 18th, 19th man, and wasn't able to go back because of my injury. It was frustrating, I guess you could say, but there's nothing really I could do about it. You know, that's footy, and you get injuries here and there, and it was just it's tough months. But I just had to, you know, there's no point kicking stones. I just had to, you know, get on my job, rehab as much as I could, and try to get back as quick as I could. But it just made me more hungry, and it was good to see the boys win, I guess, on Wednesday.
That attitude shows that kind of perspective on life that you have. And I think much of that would be, I come from your work with the Eels charity partner, Giant Steps. Now, that was one of the things that you spoke about. And there was a video also on the pre-game entertainment at Bankwest. Just tell us a bit about that and how important that's been for you.
Oh, I think that's where I started my journey as a young fella, 17, 18 years old, and started working there with a few of the boys. And obviously, kids with autism is, they're hard to, work with, and, you know, you've got to be very patient. And at the end of the day, you're grateful for what you've got in your life and your family, and you want to be able to help out other families. And, you know, I've obviously met some really, really inspirational families that have been through everything. And I'm really close with some of them now. And obviously like to help out with some families now. And sort of just puts in perspective, you know, what you've got around you and your family. So, it's just sort of taking it like that.
Well, mate, you do a great job, as I said, watching you describe it as well was terrific. And then watching you get on the footy field and just picking up where you left off was brilliant. So congratulations and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks, boys.
Obviously, this is was a key game for Dragons, given it was the first one after Vorney's Barbie, and there were going to be some players who were suspended. It was a pretty good-looking Dragons team, though, that he sent out there, and especially then when DCE and Tom Trbojevic both didn't pull up after State of Origin. Neither of them played for Manly, so there was kind of potential, would have thought, one thought, for the Dragons to get the job done. Tyrell Sloan's first try looked sensational. We thought, yeah, here we go. Second half, though, Manly just were too good.
It certainly evened the playing field, didn't it, when you saw that Jake was already out, Tommy yep. was out, and DC was going to be out after the sort of the couple of weeks that the Dragons have had. You thought, yep. okay, well, that gives them some kind of hope. But then, you know, it was the control of Kieran Foran. I think he does it most weeks, but a lot of the time it goes unnoticed with, you know, what Tom and DC and that do, and they're the highlights reel. But he just went about his business and kept them on course last night, Kieran. And it was the young guys coming through, and they got some good ones, Tone, you know. Mm-hmm. Young Paseka, he's had a fantastic probably 18 months now in first grade, and he's getting better by the week. And his combination with Marty is going to be a really good one at the back end of the year. Ola Kawatu doing some amazing things out on that right-hand side, a real handful for the opposition and growing in confidence. And young Schuster, who's been out for a few weeks now, but, you know, came back into that side and, like Reed Marnie, just did not miss a beat, playing with a lot of confidence. They do the simple things well. They
completed. He's got ball skills as well as the strength, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, he's got it all. Yeah. He's a great runner of the ball, but he's also really good at, you know, catching and passing or setting up opportunities for other people. And Garrick did a good job at the back. I think Desi would be just really happy. Again, lots of reasons why they couldn't have gone up there and not played so well, but just found a way to get the job done. And a really professional performance, I thought, from Manly last night.
Bit of a lack of control for the Dragons.
Yeah, you mentioned those guys are out, Gerds, and the other bloke, the forgotten man, really, that team's Curtis Sirenin, who's due back, I think, next week. I think he'll struggle to get in the team at the moment because Schuster and Ola Kawatu are doing such a good job on the in those edge back row spots. He'll probably have to come off the interchange bench, Curtis Sirenin. So they got a lot of depth at the moment, Manly. They're playing really well, a lot of confidence. You know, they've got experience, they've got young kids, a lot of points in them. And you know, I was worried early on when the Dragons scored early. I thought, oh, here we go again, Manly without Tommy. They're going to struggle, but they just overpowered
Sooley,
them.
He's going to create some headaches now because you've got Parker and Harper have been the centres basically all year. Sooley gets an opportunity on the back of Tommy being out and comes on and looked fit.
Yeah.
You know, when he's fit, he's a guy, especially in big games, that can just create something out of nothing. And, yeah, he looked good last night on his feet as well. So Manly just in good shape at the moment. Maybe a little bit of a stretch for them to think top four because I think they might be 6 points behind. But, you know, they're going to be fifth or sixth. And when the whips are cracking, they're going to give it a shot.
Yeah, they'll get a home final in Queensland.
Look, with Manly, when Tommy was ruled out, I probably thought, no, they won't win. And then DC, I went, oh. But then you think, well, what the week or two that the Dragons have gone through, that's an emotional toll that takes a while to get over. They started well, but yeah, I think Manly Foran took it upon himself to play that DC role, and he turned back the clock beautifully. I agree with everything Reedy and Gerd say about these young guys coming through. Cade Custer, I've been a fan of his for a long time, and I've always wondered why he hasn't been in first grade as a 5'8" or, you know, on the bench as a utility, because he's played a lot of New South Wales Cup. But I think he showed last night that he's going to be a valuable asset come the end of the season as well. But as for your Dragons, Tone, I think the slide down has started. I think it's very hard to recover from, as I said, from what happened for them, you know, 2 weekends ago. It was the emotional toll that plays on them now. They had to uproot and lock everyone and move. And I think it's, you know, I don't think I'll make the eight. I don't think the Dragons will make the eight.
No, I think you're right. I think it's very difficult for them looking ahead. I mean, they came out and they were strong, but they know that every week for the next three games, three guys are going to be missing. And,
They missed Dufty last night in particular.
Yeah, totally. Even though Sloane's a good young kid, but they missed him absolutely.
They just fell away from the task, Tony. They had their moments, but they completed at 68%. You know, they're not missing their playmakers. Their key people are pretty much all there. Like, Dufty doesn't, you know, steer them around the field and kick to the corners and do those basic things right. Because I thought Sloane did a pretty good job. 45 missed tackles. Just those areas, they looked fatigued. And as MG said, been a tough couple of weeks for them emotionally and obviously, you know, some upheaval through the week. Some teams are going to transition into this, you know, latest COVID situation better than others. And it looked like last night it was evident the Eels did it well. The Seagulls have done it well. And I know we haven't done the Gold Coast game, but the Gold Coast, they had nothing through the week happened to them. They just all slept in their own beds, went out there last night against the Eels, who had, you know, two key players out and did not fire a shot.
Well, they play each other next week, Saints and Gold Coast. I'm pretty sure that's the game next week. I mean, that's now a four-point game. I suppose every team in the bottom half of the eight's basically playing four-point games at the moment because they're all playing each other. But, you know, there's some floaters in the bottom half of the eight. Normally you're right off.
A couple of floaters, Rudy.
Well, normally,
what do you consider a floater?
normally you're right off the teams in the bottom half of the eight. But
there's
going to be a couple of dangerous teams. I mean, Manly are going to be a dangerous team come finals time. And I'll tell you what, when you
remember, Manly aren't a floater.
Well, maybe I used the wrong term there. I've probably used the wrong term.
Now, are you talking about the Cowboys and the Raiders and the Warriors? Are they floaters?
No, I'm thinking Newcastle. When Newcastle got everyone back and Kalen's fit, and I know Pearcey's out at the moment. Obviously, he's got to have a scan. I think it's, I can't remember if it's his hamstring. I think it is, and he's going to miss at least this week.
They got the Knights. Oh, they got the Storm, so they won't win this week.
No. But I think Newcastle are going to be a dangerous team. I think they'll make the top eight.
There's a good battle for those seven and eight spots, which, as we said before, gives the team the right to hang around for another week and get beaten by Penrith or Manly.
I reckon Manly and Newcastle at full strength, they can trouble those top four teams, which you don't normally expect. The bottom half of the eight, you sort of go, they're just there to make up the numbers. But I think they're good enough when they're at full strength that they can
That's remarkable
cause
you're
some
saying
drama.
That because we spent hours and many shows talking about rugby league at the beginning of the season, early in the season, said there was like four or five teams only that are in it.
Yeah.
Everybody else has zero shot.
Yeah.
You know, and then it became just, you know, Penrith and Melbourne. But you're saying there are now...
I don't know if they can beat Penrith and Melbourne, but I think they can cause some drama for maybe South and Para.
Emotionally, it must be difficult. I mean, those Dragon guys who know they did wrong. They know they did wrong and they've been punished appropriately. Even from a Dragons end, they've been punished appropriately. Then this week they lined up and did their apologies. So I thought they had actually, there was some kind of galvanising thing. When Josh Maguire scored his first try in, 67 games or something, threw the ball down near the guys who tried to tackle him, there was a sense of, oh, yeah, you know, they're up for it. But they just don't have that control. You know, the basic errors which just put them straight in the hole.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a really hard week for them. We saw Marty Tapau put up a tweet sort of taking the mickey out of them today as well. And obviously they're missing some talent, but Gerd's right. I mean, their main guys were there. I mean, Zach Lomax has been out for a long time, so they've probably got used to being without Zach. So it's hard to blame it on the guys who are absent, really. I just think at the moment they started the season so well, but they've just been so all over the shop, up and down and played well one week and all.
Yep.
Poor the next, and I don't know.
Are they like a yo-yo.
Yes.
A roller coaster.
Thank you. I think MG's right, though. It may be season done, dusted for the Dragons. Don't want to say it, but there it is.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's Mail.
All right, Brent Reed, let's begin. We've already spoken about Phil Gould and his move to the Doggies as the general manager of football. What else is happening in Doggy Land?
Well, we said there's lots going on at the Dogs. There's a couple of big ones going on. Tevita Pangai and Paul Vaughan. Now, Tevita Pangai's an interesting one. Everyone thought the West Tigers in Canterbury are obviously vying for Tevita. Everyone expected a decision on Friday. It didn't come. They've been bracing for a decision today. Last I spoke to Canterbury, the Tigers and Brisbane, they were all still waiting for Tevita Pangai to make a call. So as it stands right now, we're still waiting on Tevita. You know, I think there's a general level of frustration from the Tigers and Canterbury that they haven't heard yet. Look, they're obviously not to the point where they're pulling out, but they're still sort of biding their time and waiting to get something out of Tevita. And I'm told that Tevita's flipping and flopping and can't make up his mind. And
Does he have an offer from Brisbane?
He does. Well, he's obviously got 1 year left on his deal at Brisbane. His management's spoken to Brisbane about what Brisbane would contribute to the deal. I'm not sure whether that's a sticking point. I don't think it is. I think it's just a matter of Tevita actually making his mind up. And they're hopeful it'll happen today. He's obviously got a game tomorrow. They're playing the West Tigers. So I think they're hopeful they get a decision before that game. Tevita's not playing. He's still suspended from memory. But, you know, a general level of, I think, frustration amongst all three clubs who are in the middle of that they still haven't heard from Tevita. And he's obviously wrestling with things. I don't think Gus has got anything to do with it because the Gus thing no one knew about till last night. The only people who knew were John Currie, the chairman, and Wayne Beavis, his agent. So Tevita and his camp weren't aware of that. I'm sure that will now come into their thinking. I think Canterbury has still got their nose in front there. But as I said, they're hoping to hear today at some point. And I would imagine at some point today we'll get a decision out of Tevita Pangai, hopefully before the end of the show.
It's not all his fault, though, Reedy. I mean, it was a bit of a debacle what happened up there at Brisbane. One minute they wanted him, the next minute they didn't. He probably didn't know where he stood or mightn't even still know where he stands now up there. So
I think he knows where he stands now, Gerds. I think he knows that, you know, he's free to go if he can find a club and there won't be an extension for him beyond next year. So I think I don't think there's any lack of clarity over where his situation is in Brisbane. I think it's just Tevita getting his head around where he wants to be next year and which club he's more comfortable with, you know, and sort of working out. Because, as I said, I think he's finding it hard to make a decision. And, you know, I think his agent, Matt Desire, would be keen for him to resolve it. And I think, as I said, the club's wanting to resolve it, but he just needs to get in his head he's comfortable about which club he wants to go to. And obviously the Dogs have also got the Paul Vaughan issue going on. Look, I'm told they're sort of 6-1 favourites to land Paul Vaughan. The issue there is the Dogs are waiting for some clarity out of the integrity unit about how it will play out once they do sign him, because he obviously can't play. You know, they could sign him now. He would serve his suspension out, but they would have to pay him. Now, he can't play for them. So they've got to sort of work out with the integrity unit, what can we pay him given he won't be playing for us? What would be a legitimate payment? What's a legitimate contract when we lodge it? So that's one that they're trying to work out at the moment with the NRL.
Can his 8-week suspension that he's been given, now his contract obviously been torn up by the Dragons, does that not come into play, so until he signs with another club and then you have to serve him out? Or was last night's game, was that one for Paul Vaughan or
not? Well, I think that's what Canterbury are trying to establish with the NRL. I think they're just trying to get some clarity around how the suspension would play out if they signed him now, how it would play out if they signed him at the start of next year or for next year, whether that would avoid them having to pay him this year and that serves as suspension and then he comes back next year and the ban's served. That's what the Canterbury are trying to establish at the moment with the NRL.
Right. It would seem brutally unfair. Confusing. Yeah. Okay. Any news on Dale Finucane and where he's...
So Dale, my understanding was Dale was going to get all the offers on the table on Friday, get through the game this week, sit down next week with his agent, Andrew Purcell, and make a decision. He's got he's got North Queensland three-year offer. I think the Gold Coast is a three-year offer.
The Gold Coast have come in.
They're
middle forward heavy.
I know. I find that one bit bemusing as well. But, yeah, apparently Dale was very, very impressed with the Gold Coast and what they were pitching to him, because they've signed Isaac Liu and they've got Tino as well. But yeah, I think they see Dale as a guy who can improve the culture there and give them some leadership.
Okay.
He's got obviously the Melbourne Storm have made an offer, but I'm told it's long shot that he stays there. West Tigers are considering, depending on Tevita Pangai. Newcastle are in for Dale Finucane, so he's got a lot of clubs in for him, and he'll make a decision at some point next week on what he does.
All right, nation's capital, Elliot Whitehead.
Yeah, look, I mean, they haven't had a lot of luck lately with Englishmen, Canberra. Obviously, the Georgie Williams situation, John Bateman. But the good news for Canberra fans is that Elliot Whitehead's very close to doing a two-year extension down there. He's got 1 year left on his deal in Canberra. He's got no plans to go anywhere. They're a long way down the track with Elliot Whitehead, and I'd expect an announcement in the next week or two that Elliot Whitehead has extended his stay in Canberra 2 more years on top of the 1 year he's got left down there. So good for Canberra.
Okay. And Chad Townsend managed that one game since he's gone to the Warriors. When's that injured, obviously?
Chad did the shoulder. It looks as though he will make his return. I think tomorrow they play the Warriors, so he'll probably need an injection in that shoulder, but it looks like he'll play tomorrow for them. And just on Kalen Ponga, as I said, I spoke to his dad. I spoke to his dad this week, Kalen Ponga. There's been a lot of talk. He's got an option in his deal at the end of 22, which effectively means he can go on the market on November 1. His dad said that the only thing in Kalen's mind right now, when I asked him about the deal and the contract, whether he'd go to market November 1, Kalen's only focus is on winning a premiership with Newcastle. So they love Newcastle. Kalen's got no plans to leave Newcastle. And funnily enough, I also asked him about rugby, because there's been a lot of talk about Kalen going to rugby. Yep. And he said, you know, at the moment, league's the be-all and end-all for Kalen. So good news for Newcastle, good news for the NRL. Kalen Ponga's going nowhere.
Yeah. The return to form of the Queensland side, does it mean, what do you think it means for Paul Green ongoing?
Well, I think it would have been pretty clear cut if he didn't get a result the other night. But, you know, having to think about it, you speak to any of the Origin coaches and the transition from a club coach to an Origin coach can take some time as well, understanding what that whole campaign looks like. And if you speak to, and I've spoken to Freddie about it a few different times, and he tells me about the detail they go into just day by day, putting that whole campaign together and really understanding what that's going to look like. So for a guy to come in on his first go and not have that, he hasn't been an assistant coach in an Origin. He's played in a few series, but a long time ago. So, you know, I think that's earned him the right to now really understand what it takes and for him to have another crack next year.
All right, before I get your take on it, let's just have a listen to what he had to say about the prospect. This is post-game.
I like what we started, you know, the series didn't pan out how we'd all hoped, but future for Queensland's bright. Personally, for me, I'd like to love Queensland. I love playing when I got the chance, and I've enjoyed this series as tough as it has been, but now's not the time to be making any sort of decisions about that.
Sound like it was being tasered at the same time as interviewed there, I'm not sure.
I thought he grew with, like, the way he... When he first came into camp, I think he'll learn some lessons from the way, you know, we were hearing about a bit of a drinking culture in camp and stuff like that. You know, you hear secondhand, you don't know if it's true or not, but the Chinese whispers in rugby league get around pretty quickly, and I think he'll learn from that. I actually felt pretty sorry for him after the second game, and I thought, you know, no bloke who wants to help their state deserves to be going through what he's going through. But it's kind of like being, as Gerd mentions, being like a normal club coach is like being a marathon runner. Then all of a sudden you've got to train like you're a 100-metre sprinter because everything's compacted into that 6 weeks instead of, you know, 26 week or 28 weeks. You've got to say, okay, well, and I think it takes a while to you know, cotton onto that. Even some of the best coaches like the Bellamy's of the world couldn't quite grasp the Origin concept. So I thought he was a bit of a dead man walking before the game had started, but I think now that he's prevailed, he's shown that with players who come back and make their team stronger, that he can win a game. So I think they at least deserve to give him another chance at it.
Yeah, it was weird. I thought that all those stories about, you know, them having a toxic culture. They were two games in. How can you have? That's not enough time to develop a culture.
I don't think not so much toxic. I think more so just the inmates were running the asylum type thing.
Yeah,
and he's got to be more assertive, I think, next time he gets into a camp.
I think the issue. For Green, he isn't so much whether he'll get offered the job again because he has an option in his favour. So it'll be his decision, really, whether he goes around again. And I think the QRL, Bruce Hatcher, the chairman's been pretty vehement in his support of, or pretty outspoken in his support of Paul Green. I think the issue, talking to me, Paul Green on Thursday, my gut feel was the issue will be whether Paul wants to do it again, wants to put his family through it, because I think he felt like, I mean, he said to me he's never been under so much pressure in coaching as he was leading into that third game. And I think it had a toll on him. I think it took a toll on his family. And I think that would be the issue for Paul. He has to decide in his own head whether he wants to put his family through that potentially again. And I think if he's comfortable doing that, I think Paul will do it again. Because unless he obviously gets an NRL job. And I think Shane Flanagan and Cameron Serraldo are probably just ahead of him in the pecking order at the moment. So, you know, I think ultimately it'll come down to whether Paul decides he wants to put himself under that stress again. I think he will. I think he'll want to do it again because I think you can see the green shoots coming through in that third game, and I think he'd want to be part of that.
It's amazing, isn't it, the stress that those guys are under. Mm. A lot of, you know, there's a lot of shows, a lot of people talking, spending a lot of hours just analysing, and they bear the brunt of it, don't they, all the time. All right, the Eels, a good start for both sides, but the Eels just powered through the middle, MG. You must love seeing those forwards crashing through.
They started with a lot of intent, in particular Campbell Gillard, who was, you know, on his own without Junior Paulo. But I thought Nathan Brown was unbelievable. I think Madison was fantastic. Papali'i, Sean Lane when he came on, Dylan Brown. I think this says more about the Titans, about this game, than it does Parramatta. I was so disappointed in them. I was just waiting, you know, for big David Fifita to get involved, and at halftime he had 3 runs for 18, 19 metres. I think it's time to put him in the front row, just for start him off in the game. So he gets, sometimes when you're waiting on an edge and you're one of them players who are an impact player and you don't, the ball doesn't come your way, or You know, the players inside don't bring the ball to you like they're supposed to, or blah, blah, blah. But if you want the ball, you get it. Simple as that. He didn't want it last night, and they needed him to have it because he's there. And whether he likes it or not, he's their $1.2 million player. And with that comes a lot of baggage, but with it comes a lot of money. And with that money comes, you know, expectations. And the expectations weren't met last night by a long shot. They're hovering just under the eight. And I'm not blaming just him for their performance because I thought, you know, outside of Tino, the rest of the guys really didn't aim up either. But when you've got a bloke like David Fifita, who's 120 kilos and he's 6'1", and he runs like – he reminds me a lot of Dave Taylor, to be honest. He reminds me a real lot of Dave Taylor in his prime where you just wanted Dave Taylor to get the ball. You just wanted him to get the ball because you knew he'd do something special. But he wouldn't go searching for the ball. And I think that the quicker Justin Holbrook gets him in the front row and says, mate, get your hands dirty, and then after 20 minutes we'll put you on the edge and give you a rest. But I think he needs to be exposed to the brutality of the game a lot quicker than he has been.
Yeah. Well, he moved over the right for a minute there and they shifted left. So he was going where the ball wasn't.
They've been one of the great disappointments of the season, I think, the Gold Coast. I think we had a lot of expectation around them. You know, giving the top eight a real shake, and potentially some people are tipping them to make the top four, but they've just fallen flat. I mean, defensively, they've been awful all year. They've shown bits of their ability at times, but for the large part, defensively, they've been terrible. And Justin Holbrook must be tearing his hair out. I don't think we thought Justin had made huge strides with them last year, but they've just gone backwards this year. I don't know why.
It's their spine.
They keep signing forwards. It's quite strange.
They need a quality hooker or they need a quality half because obviously Brimson's got the fullback role covered. But apart from that, Ash Taylor and Fogarty haven't offered much in the last few weeks and they keep changing the dummy half. Last night was Aaron Clark's turn and they've used obviously Mitch Rain and Tanner Boyd and guys like this. But they need a recognised number nine, and at the moment they just don't. They're not, you know, last night they were passing the ball to each other and not knowing who was the ball was going to. They were so unorganised, and Gerd's mentioned it earlier. After all out of all the teams in the competition, who have had to up and move up to the north, well, these guys have slept in their own beds with their own family, and I think they played on that fact.
Yeah. Was it last week or before they scored three tries while they were one man down
against Canberra?
Yeah. This week there was three tries scored against them while Kevin Proctor was in the bin. And absolutely justified sin binning to say that tackle on Isaiah Papali'i was really ugly. They were lucky that both players weren't sent to the bin, but that would have been probably an overreaction. But, you know, when you see that kind of stuff, absolutely valid. Back to Parramatta for a minute. I mean, Clint Gutherson, he steps up. He's a good
he's
player.
So good, isn't he?
That kick was sensational that Hayes Dunster, whose hands were also brilliant to score that try in the corner, was phenomenal.
Well, Fergo can't get a look in because Hayes Dunster's gone so well since he came into the team. I mean, it's just Gutho, isn't it? You know what you get every week with Clint Gutherson. Really interesting. We talk about players coming off contract. I mean, on November 1, Clint Gutherson is able to talk to other clubs. And if you remember when Clint Gutherson did his last deal, it was a huge brouhaha between, Parra and all this talk about what he was getting offered elsewhere. And I think he took a little less to stay. Well, you know what? I get the feeling that this next deal is going to be, he's going to want to get paid.
Yep.
He want to get paid well. So, and he deserves,
yeah, he deserves it
because, yeah. I mean, he is their most consistent, reliable player. You know, every week, he just aims up.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the kind of the temperature setter there for the Eels at the moment. I think
the barometer.
Yes, that's the word. Yeah.
The barometer. Right,
that's the word.
The temperature setter. That's something I'd say, Tony.
See, barometer didn't come. I was trying to get him. Barometer. And then I thought, what's close to that? The temperature setter.
Temperature gauge.
We should mention those two. Good, just joking. Those two Gold Coast players, Proctor and Paddy Herbert, they've just been fined for that.
Just a fine.
Dangerous road. Just a fine, yeah. $1,500.
Yeah, so I think that's worse than a high hit. I think when you've got a guy, and if Papali'i didn't have his arm free to put to shield his fall, that could have been ugly. That could have been real ugly.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Madison, you mentioned him. He was another one who was terrific, really strong all game. And, you know, ball playing as well as just being powerful and a bit of a temperature setter for the team as well.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.